No. Can you hear me now? One, two. Can you hear me in the back? No. Can you hear me now? Wave your. No. Can you hear me? Okay. Holding others more dear than myself in order to free them from all of their suffering and to bring them happiness. I must practice and train well in order to remove all of my various faults and bring the consummation of all my excellent qualities. And if I were to do this, then I would have brought my own welfare to consummation, to its final end, and I would be in power to bring others' welfare to their final end. In that way, I will be able to serve others by bringing about their ultimate desires in the sense of being able to emanate various teachers from my own self, and thereby each of these will be able to teach the Dharma unerringly, the teaching the Dharma of liberation and the way of achieving omniscience. So with the motivation of the awakening heart cultivated over the next 3 minutes, determine that in order to bring about this end, that I must train well and meditate within the great vehicle. I'm quoting from a verse by Jay Tsongkhapam, where he said, in order to be free, to find freedom and liberation from cyclic existence, one must realize emptiness. Amongst the three higher trainings, and this denotes the necessity to train in the higher training in wisdom. And as the foundation for the ultimate generation of wisdom, it's necessary to lead the to abide in the ethics of renunciation. And without renunciation, that is to say, the renunciation of cyclic existence, there's no way that we can abide in the ethics of renunciation. What do we mean by cyclic existence? Such things as this room, trees, water, earth, forest, these are not cyclic existence, these are the environment. Dharmakirti goes on to define cyclic existence as the five aggregates which are appropriated under the influence of afflictive emotions and karma. The five aggregates being those of forms, feelings, perceptions, thought constructions, and consciousnesses. In terms of speaking of the five aggregates, the first of the five aggregates is the aggregate of form, and this is the constituted of the aggregation of atoms, of particles. And in dependence upon this aggregation of particles, when this aggregation, for example, becomes hot, then we experience suffering. When it becomes cold, again suffering. When it becomes cool, we experience pleasure. Other times we experience neutral feeling. So in dependence upon the basis of the aggregation of the atoms of form, we experience the feelings of pleasure, displeasure, and neutral feeling. Then the third of the aggregates is that of perception, sometimes translated as discrimination or recognition. And this is the knowing faculty which discriminates, this is this, this is that, this is red, this is white, this is yellow, this is a person, this is water. Than that of the aggregate of consciousness. And this is the discursive consciousness which is thinking, previously I did this and presently I'm doing this and in the future I will do that. And then the aggregate of mental constructions, thought constructions, are all the various types of consciousness aside from the consciousness which we just described. For example, consciousnesses such as faith, wisdom, renunciation, attachment, pride, ignorance, all of these grouped together constitute the aggregate of mental constructs. So all beings which have form have the five aggregates. So the renunciation which we are seeking to develop is renunciation toward these five aggregates, but specifically the five aggregates which are appropriated under the influence of karma and afflictive emotions. Having developed that renunciation, we can then develop a striving toward liberation from these such types of aggregates, and thereby we can live in the ethics of renunciation. So what is the obstacle to the development of renunciation? The obstruction, that is attachment to the body, but both the attachment to one's own body and to the bodies of others. So unless we develop renunciation, we will continue to circle within cyclic existence. And that's because without due to the obstacle of attachment, not seeing the discordant quality of attachment in order to be liberated from cyclic existence, we will remain within cyclic existence and we will not seek freedom from it. So today, we're going to talk about the way in which to bring about a cessation of attachment. So as was previously taught from a verse by Nagarjuna, in which he said, rare are helpful speakers, listeners are rare. And he went on to say, but rare still are words which though unpleasant, help at once. And though we may hear unpleasant words, if they're of benefit, then it's necessary that we put them into practice. So up to now, most of the words that you've been hearing have been quite pleasant. But today, the words which you hear, for some may be unpleasant, but of course for some they may still be pleasant. Pleasant or not, they're a benefit and should be practiced. So, in dependence upon pleasurable feelings, we develop attachment. In dependence upon unpleasant feelings, we develop aversion. In dependence upon neutral feelings, we develop delusion, confusion. And the body in which the feeling arises upon and the feelings themselves are the basis for both attachment and aversion. So we can develop the afflictions of aversion and attachment in dependence upon the aggregates of form, upon feelings, additionally upon the aggregate of perception. For example, if someone were giving a teaching and the view that this teacher was presenting was in accordance with your view, then you might develop attachment toward this person. If it was in discord with your view, you might develop aversion toward this person. So this would be in recognizing or discriminating this person in dependence upon their view, you would develop attachment and aversion. And also in terms of the discursive thoughts of the aggregate of consciousness, in which it involves an extreme preponderance of negative actions through the thinking of various negative and positive negative types of thought, such as attachment and aversion. But mainly in terms of bringing about a cessation of attachment, we're concerned with the attachment with respect to the body. So what is going to be presented in terms of the body, we can all understand for ourselves. We can each of us apply this to ourselves. It's not something which was just meant for a monk. And additionally, what is being explained and equally applies to both male bodies and female bodies. And to begin with, due to our misconception as to the nature of the body as being clean, when in fact it is unclean, we develop attachment for body.
What the thing is, I mean, on the 10 half of the world, what? Gather up and it's a more hard here. Can it carry you? Can it hard it? I mean, the rebut. What is over? You think you say, cut it? Then you go
ahead.
No. You button, cut it to the other way, but put it to the other.
So we can begin with our mouth. It's like a vessel filled with foul fluids, like saliva. And there is all this filth between our teeth. And our nose is filled with snot and our various fluids. And our eyes are filled, each have their own peculiar filth and also tears. And the body is a vessel filled with excrement, urine, lungs, and liver. But though the body is unclean, we are obscured to seeing this uncleanliness. So if we take an analogy, if there was a pot which is beautifully adorned on the outside but contained filth, would you be attracted to that pot? And we ourselves are exactly the same. We have these beautifully ornamented bodies, but are filled full of filth. How can you develop attachment for such a thing? That's really stupid. We're just like pigs, who pigs enjoy filth a great deal, and we're very much like them.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding the actual nature of our body, those who are wise do not develop attachment toward it. So our body is much like our body is very much like a great city, such maybe for example Sydney, which has a huge sewage works in which emits all this filth out of the sewer. This filth goes in and comes out the various openings, and our body has this sewage system in which emits, and out of these openings come all of this filth of excrements and pus and blood and etc. So, you know, if we really examine our body, we will see that to think it is clean is very much a wrong conception, that in fact it is unclean. And in thinking of it in its actual terms, to hold it as being beautiful is a misconception. It's a wrong way of understanding its nature. So how was our body initially constituted? What was its cause? And did it rise out of a fine cause or a repugnant cause? In fact, if we look at the very source of our body, it is the ovum and semen of our parents. This is the very seed of our body. So how can that which arises out of blood and semen be clean? You know, we talked about the internally uncleanliness of the body, But also the external, our skin is unclean because it arises from the union of the blood and sperm. So if the outside and inside are both unclean, how can we be attached to it? It doesn't make sense to be attached to it. So, whether it's a man or a woman, both are internally and externally unclean, and what happens when we lie upon either? So these bodies, which it doesn't matter whether they're beautiful or ugly, whether they're old or young, they still all have the same nature. It's not very pleasant, is it? So, you know, would you be attracted towards filth, even if it had a pleasant shape and a nice color? So the same, even though we simply wouldn't be attracted to filth, even if it had a very attractive shape and color, and therefore we wouldn't be attached to it. And this would be similar to what the example that we cited previously, a very beautifully ornamented pot, which was filled with filth.
Okay.
So the body is unclean by its very nature. It's by its cause. We can look at its shape, its color, and therefore, what is it that we are to be attached to? And seeing it, then we can see that attachment makes no sense. But the fact is we develop attachment toward our own body, we develop attachment for others' bodies. This holds true both for females and males. Under the influence of this attachment, the attachment acts to inhibit the development of renunciation, and therefore we never will attain liberation. In general, we have acquired our beautiful bodies as a result of skillful action, as a result of the practice of tolerance. So we can say that we have beautiful bodies. We can make that determination. But with attachment, it's simply not just the beauty of the body as it in fact by its very nature, but there is an exaggeration of the beauty of the body, and it's due to this superimposition of the beauty of the body, of exaggerated beauty of the body, that we develop attachment, and this is the fault. In general, we can talk about the quality of the goodness or badness of objects in terms of their actual nature. I mean, certain objects are good and certain objects are bad by their very nature. But here, this is actual way things exist, the good and bad. But here, and it's due to the fundamental ignorance, under the influence of fundamental ignorance, there is a going beyond the actual nature of the object. There is an exaggeration. We impute qu- qualities which exceed its actual nature, and due to this exaggerated superimposition of beyond the actual nature of the objects, we develop attachment, and this is due to the condition of ignorance. So such beings as Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, boat destroyers have abandoned, many of them have abandoned attachment. And these beings, they see that which is beautiful as beautiful, because they see things in accordance with the way they exist. So they would see beautiful as beautiful. But they do not impose an exaggerated quality upon the object which is not there, because due to the force of ignorance which they have abandoned, they see that which is as it is, without exceeding its quality. In order to develop aversion, attachment, all the various afflictive emotions, it's necessary that it be assisted by ignorance. Due to the force of ignorance, we're not able to see the actual nature of the object. The person under the influence of ignorance does not see the object for what it really is. There's an obscuration which prevents them seeing the actual nature of the object. And in fact, there is an exaggeration with respect to the qualities of the object. And out of this, we develop the various afflictive emotions, such as aversion and attachment. We have to take care of our bodies. We have to keep our body clean. We have to take care of our health. And this is because it is the basis for the practice of Dharma, the human life that we possess, this human body. It has this great power and potential. We want to have a long life, so we have to take care of our bodies. We have to take care of our health. If we have a short life, then we're not going to be able to achieve all that we could, and we won't be able to derive all the benefits possible out of it. And we must act in accordance with the prevailing mores, the prevailing views that, of our place that we live and the time. For example, if it's acceptable to have a clean body, then we must accept that prevailing view, and we must try to keep our body clean. If we reflect upon what has just been explained, then our attachment will lessen. That when we understand the nature of the uncleanness of the body, then we will be able to derive the benefit of developing renunciation. To the degree that we reflect upon and become less attached to the body, we come closer and closer to the development of actual renunciation. As our attachment lessens, our renunciation will increase, and we will be able to abide within the ethics of renunciation, such as the observance of the abandonment of the 10 unskillful actions. And that will act as a condition necessary for the eventual development of calm abiding and special insight. That is just like planting, preparing a field in which the potential of these is being planted. So the cultivating the meditation on renunciation is extremely beneficial. The cessation of our attachment is very important. Within the spiritual community, the Sangha of the Lesser Vehicle, the main initial practice is that of ethics. And this is in order to bring about the cessation of attachment. This is, Kapha. You know. It is, in order to develop this renunciation, the monks would use the cloth in which the corpses were wrapped prior to their being burnt in the funeral pyre as material for their robes, in order to aid in the renunciation. The one of the robes of a monk is made up of very very small patches which have been sewn together, and this is the symbolic of the patches which were begged from these corpse wrapping cloths. And these would be sewn together. These small pieces that they were able to get would be sewn together to make their robes. And additionally, within the moral discipline of the monks, it was necessary that when going for alms, one could only go to three homes, and whatever was given or not given, that was all that one would eat. And one would live under a tree. One would sit on the ground. And the medicines that the monk would take would be made from the dregs of the dregs left over from the medicine which was prepared by others, such as, you know, the barks of trees. They would crush it up and they would extract the medicine from it, and they would throw the dregs away. Then the monk would take those dregs and make his medicine. So all of these were taught in order to cease attachment. In dependence upon cessation of attachment, one could abide well in the ethics of renunciation. In dependence upon that, one would attain a human life in liberation. So in the development of renunciation, we have to take care of our bodies, we have to keep them clean. It's excellent that if we can develop, lessen our attachment to our body. So we're going to stop then. But if you have some questions. Yes. Attachment and attraction. Chakpaton. De la chakpaton, de la gawa. De ni la kyeva yurwe. So if the in terms of so they're very similar. If they arise under the influence of karma and the afflictive emotions, then attraction for an object and attachment toward that object are extremely similar, almost the same. If they arise under the influence of afflictive emotions and karma, then attraction and attachment for an object would be very similar. De la chakpa, chakpaton, de la gawa, gawa. De no karere. Mo, susu mo karere. So these two, attraction and attachment, would have the same aspect. It is the mind thinking that this object... Sugimare. Yes. the Suk, the Yula Suk, Super Sun. De la Jupa.
Oh.
Yula Jupa.
Oh, yeah.
Yula Jupa. So both attachment and attraction. Shiva Mitapa. Kevata Mitapa Chikpate. You know, the Dunship. So attachment and attraction are the mind thinking with respect to the object that this is a pleasant object. It is the mind is holding the object as pleasant. Now, these two are quite similar, attraction and attachment. They have the same function, the way they're generated and the way they succeed are the same. But we impute different names to these two states. They both are holding the object as pleasant, but in terms of, with attachment, there is a penetration into the object of the mind, which exceeds that of attraction. They both hold their mind. They're both holding the object as pleasant, but there is a greater entering into the mind, entering into the object of the mind, penetration into the object. So an analogy, we can use these same terms. We can say we have attraction and attachment for a person of the opposite sex. But we can also use that word attraction in another sense. We can say, I have attraction for my spiritual teacher, or I have faith for my spiritual teacher. Chakpa, Makepa, Dusu, Yul Chikpa Dela, Tongwa, Tongsin, Shetong, Kepa, Gugire, Yul Chikpa La, Chakpa Makena, Yul Chikpa Dela, Tongwa, Tongsin. Kondo, ma ke gugre, de nika ke nyamba re, ke nyamba, di nika makepa nyambares, kechampores. Makepa nyambar, kechampo nyambares. Yude la chakpa gakna, yude la kondom makepa gukeres. Tene di susu lila, tene susu lila chakpa gakna, so na dukshi shirare. So, this is a contrasaya, setansaya, the Yabomare, the Nikagore, Yuchikula, Chakpatan, Setan Mepa, Nikakegore. Yes. So, we have to cease. All attachment, aversion, and delusion with respect to the object. Equally important, at least. Yes. So you're saying that Buddha does not. It's not a nature of the object. It's purely coming from the side of the person who sees it that way. So, Ningjepo, Yula Dani, Ningjepo, Mone Yomare, Yulchen gone, yulde ninjepo res. Yulgi gone, ninjepo ma res. Rere. Munai di, yulgi gone, ninjepo yoma res. It ming tapa, it ming sam res. Yulchen gone. Yulchen gone, di ninjepo re, nyambolo. E wongi, ninjepo re. Yulgi gone, ninjepo ma res. No, the moneto mare, nijapo yo mare. Mupaneto irawamu yure. So, the beauty of the object is coming from. So the beauty of the object is coming from both from the side of the object and the side of the subject. There is by the nature of the object, we can. There is a beauty by the very nature of the object. There is beauty by the very nature of the object, and the mind imputes that beauty. For example, it is said that the body of a Buddha is by its very nature beautiful, by its very nature. And also, it would not be correct to impute beauty to that which is by its very nature ugly. The mo neto irangwa yuna, the ranshingi dupa irangwa gugire.
Mm.
Rangipa with the drapa drapa madhava. The Nime Wangi Shapa 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 Wangi Migapa. Such things as faults, things being bad, things being good, all of these exist. Quality exist. We can exist as by the nature of their objects. We cannot call something which is bad good simply by calling it. That doesn't make it good. It is the very nature. It can be the very nature of the object that it's a fault, beneficial, that it's good, that it's bad. This is in the nature of the object, and no matter how much we might call it something else, it doesn't change the very nature of that object. But the way in which we come to these objects come into existence is by, in combination with their being imputed as such, from the side of the object, the nature of the object is, for example, bad, and in combination with an awareness imputing upon that object bad, then a bad object comes in. The bad object comes into existence. These qualities do not exist from their own side, but come into existence through a combination of the nature of the object and the imputing mind. And in order for an object to come into existence, it has to have three characteristics. It must be not harmed by a worldly convention. It is not refuted by a prime cognition, ascertaining the ultimate, and it must be able to perform the function as it is described. And if an object is able to do that, then it exists. Tony Toba Sherab Gigone Lumi Tsongwa Yomare. Tony Toba Sherab Gigone Lumi Tsongwa Yomare. So whether or not one realizes emptiness or not, the body is still unclean. I'm sorry, could you speak up? I can't hear you very well. We were all in bodies to benefit sentient beings. If we were all here in order to benefit others, what would be the benefit of having bodies? I mean, all sentient beings, if they were all, everybody wanted to help, what would be the... The selfish remember. Simchen Tamja, Shempen. Simchen Tamja lab, Shempen yuna. Lula, Lu, Lengribe. Lu Lengribe. Simchen Tamja lab, Shempen yuna. Lu, Shempen, Lu, Len yula, Pendot yurabe. simjin tang la champagne yun lu leng la pendo yurebe na di simjin tang la pendo yun So it would be beneficial to take a body in order to benefit sentient beings. Mi sentient tamja di nanshin jena, pendo kare. If everybody was doing if everybody was a bodhisattva, then? Sentient tamja dongju sempa, you know? Sentient lu lengribe. Lu tingi kewa lengribe. A bodhisattva is a sentient being, and she takes a body to benefit each sentient being. In order to benefit others. In order to teach the Dharma, in order to help others. If you're all enlightened, well, that's different. That's a sentient mare. That's concept tam to sangena. And lu kewa limba pendok karare. Then we wouldn't take one. We've finished our work. Everybody's become a Buddha, and then we can take a long holiday. The only reason a Buddha takes rebirth is for the benefit of an enlightened being. If there are none, then he has nothing to do. What did he do? Sangye. How did they don't do? Sanjay Tamsa Sangye ne? Sangye karakare nangire. Karakare nangire. Namaskar. He just hangs out. he abides in equipoise. He abides in equipoise. Then, you know, once all sentient beings are happy, then Buddhists can play. That's a bit. Whether people can live without attachment to the body. The Sister Lula, Chakpa Mepa, Kandas Naya Tukire. Sister Lula, Chakpa Mena, Kandas Naya Tukire. Kandas Nagare. Kandas Nagare. Sangha. Sister Lula. Chapa Mena. Kandas Nagare. Kandas. Sister Lula. Chapa Mena. Sister Kandas Nagare. Namgyu Nongshin. It was just you would just go along much as you are now, but be much happier. So in overcoming attachment to one's body, one can abide in, one will develop renunciation. In developing renunciation, one can abide in ethics. In developing and abiding the ethics of renunciation, one can develop calm abiding and special insight. And through developing that, one will abandon the afflictive emotions and gradually attain freedom. All of the previous beings who have achieved liberation proceeded in this fashion. And if we ourselves want to travel the path of liberation, then we have to travel the same path. There is no other. It'd be wonderful when all sentient beings attain Buddhahood. Gone to tell the one.